Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you are listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We do want to take just a moment and let you know about the church that you are invited. If you're in the listening area, if you're looking for a church home, we'd love for you to come by and visit with us. We're located 1 mile at Baird's Creek Road. That is just above the Willow Valley golf course resort. And they've got a new sign. It says Willow Valley Resort, and I've got that in my mind now. But we always referred to it as the golf course. But if you turn off there at the Baird's Creek Road, we're 1 mile. We have Sunday school on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for all ages, including our college class and ministry. We start at 11 for our Sunday morning worship service. We have Wednesday night at 7. Do a prayer meeting, Bible study, and we're just about to finish up the book of Mark. So lots of opportunities, and we have Sunday nights, second and fourth Sunday night. And so we'd love for you to come out. We have a church website with more information on that, mountlebanonbc.org. Noah, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Glad to be here this morning. And we do want to say welcome to all those who are listening in right here on AM 1450, WATA, and 96.5. Those who listen in on AM 690, WZAP, out of Bristol, Virginia. And those who listen in on 89.1 FM, The Truth, out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners. And our prayers go out today, especially for those in Charlotte and different places. And boy, it's just a tumultuous time in our country with a lot of different things going on. What is going on some places is not helping anything. Looting, stealing, more violence, destruction of personal property, anarchy. Those are very dangerous things to go on, right on and on and on. And really, if you think about it, it's something that has been on the rise for the past several years. I mean, just back a few years ago, they were protesting, well, all over the Middle East, and then come into America, Wisconsin, places like that, and it's just been one thing after another after another. And now it's very close to home. So our prayers are going out for all those that are involved there. Especially those in law enforcement that put their lives on the line in danger every day. And so there's a lot for us to be praying about. We are studying the subject of civics. This is part number 9. 9 weeks now we've been looking at civics. And the Bible says in Hosea chapter 4, verse number 6, it says, "For my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And so not knowing. And we have a lot of not knowing, knowing about the Bible, knowing about our government, knowing about society. A lack of knowledge will destroy us. And so civics means this. It means the rights and duties of citizens and how the government works. And we spent several weeks, we talked a long time about, or a couple of weeks at least, about the difference between a democracy and a republic. And I don't know if any of you watched the presidential debate on Monday night, the 26th, but I've got one more to add to the list that evidently doesn't know the difference between a republic and a democracy. And Hillary Clinton was talking about our democracy, and it's a republic. That's one thing. It just bothers me so much because it's not that they don't know. And we've gone over that before, so I'm not gonna rehash that. We've got to go on. I've got a lot that I want to cover today. But last week we looked at began to look at the Declaration of Independence, and we learned some things about rights from the Declaration of Independence. And civics means the rights and duties of citizens and how the government works. I will say one more thing about the debate that went on. I noticed the background, and they didn't really show. I mean, it was hard to read exactly, but what was on the background. I'm talking about behind those that were debating, and it was a blue background, and it had white writing. And I kept looking, and I was trying to see, what does that say back there? What does that say? And I kept I'd catch a little phrase when somebody would move to one side or they'd change the camera angle just a little bit. And I caught "we the people," and I caught "the right of the people." And so what was back there was either the Constitution, maybe it was little phrases from both the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. But when it was all said and done and I watched all 90 minutes of it, I thought, you know, they'd have been better off just to turn around and read what was on the wall behind them and have a little civics lesson there about the rights and duties of citizens and how the government works. And so we're looking at the Declaration of Independence, and we've learned some things about our rights. We talked about this last week. Rights come from God, and we find that in that it is expressed in the Declaration of Independence. Our rights come from God, not from the government, and therefore rights are unalienable. The Declaration of Independence talks about unalienable rights. That means that they are non-transferable. That means you couldn't give them away. You cannot will them away. You cannot take them away from our posterity, meaning the generation to come. Rights are unalienable, and everybody born into society has the same rights. Unalienable rights is what it's called in the Declaration of Independence. Now, I was talking about this a little bit last week, and I want to expound upon it a little more, but concerning the language of the Declaration of Independence, the inspiration behind the Declaration of Independence. You know, where did that come from? Where did that great American political document come from that references God, the God of the Bible, four different times in the Declaration of Independence? The language of the Declaration of Independence was not original with Thomas Jefferson. Now, he was the author, he penned it down, but the thoughts expressed in the Declaration of Independence were not an expression of his individual mind. What I mean by that, he didn't come up with it like an author comes up with a book or a story to put into a book. Original. That's what I'm trying to get at. The thoughts in the Declaration of Independence were not original with Thomas Jefferson. The Declaration of Independence was a summary of many different ideas, sources, some politicians, some philosophers, some from the Bible. Lots of different sources contributed to the writing of the Declaration of Independence. And so Thomas Jefferson didn't just sit down and come up with this, but he drew from different sources of inspiration and sort of compiled and summarized in the Declaration of Independence the spirit and the thought of the day. We mentioned last week about the Mecklenburg Resolves. And in North Carolina, our flag has two dates on it. One of those dates is May the 20th, 1775. That is referring to the Mecklenburg Resolves. And North Carolina was the first to declare their independence from Britain. And that's why our license plate used to be, it always said "first in freedom." Then they changed it. It said "first in flight." Now, when you go to get a license plate, you can get a "first in freedom" or a "first in flight." I think you can choose. And so guess what mine says? I had the "first in freedom" one. But I wonder how many people are driving around and they have no idea, no earthly idea why that is on our license plate, or why May the 20th, 1775 is on our state flag. And so Thomas Jefferson, if you read the Mecklenburg Resolves, and if you read the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson evidently had a copy before him when he penned the Declaration of Independence, because there's a lot of phrases and thoughts and ideas that he uses that are the same. And maybe a word here or there has changed just a little bit, but he used that. The Declaration of Independence was not his original idea, but he gathered the different sources together. And also, I want to say a little bit about, and I talked about this just a little last week, about the Englishman William Blackstone and his commentaries on the laws of England. Once upon a time in America, in order to become a judge, in order to become a lawyer, you had to study certain things. One, first and foremost, you had to study the Bible. Another that you would study, one of the best sellers of the time many years ago, was the Commentaries on the Laws of England by William Blackstone. And I mentioned William Blackstone last week, that he was one of the most, or he is one of the most referenced individuals during the time period of the American Revolution, the Declaration of Independence, the War of 1812, that time when our country was formulating, you know, what is America going to be? If we're not going to be Britain anymore, if we're not going to be subject to that anymore, what is America going to be? And so you have a lot of writings, and William Blackstone is one of the most referenced to, and he wrote the Commentaries on the Laws of England. And a lot of the thoughts from the Declaration of Independence, William Blackstone commented on Declaration of Independence talks about the laws of nature and of nature's God. What does that mean? What does that mean specifically? William Blackstone wrote this. He said, "Those rights then which God and nature have established are therefore called natural rights, such as are life and liberty, need not the aid of human laws to be more effectually invested in every man than they are." And so William Blackstone had already been writing from England about natural rights, what these natural rights are, that they are, for example, he gives life and liberty, and these rights which come from God and nature have established these things, and that's why they're called natural rights. And so this is not if you lived in the 1700s and you read about the laws of nature and of nature's God, you wouldn't scratch your head and say, what's that talking about? What does that mean? What is that referencing to? That was talking about the way God had ordered creation and his revealed word. And that is to lead us and guide us, William Blackstone. Another source, George Mason, one of our country's early founders, he wrote in the Virginia Declaration of Rights, he wrote this, that all men are by nature equally free and independent and have certain inherent rights, of which when they enter into a state of society, they cannot by any compact deprive or divest their posterity, namely the enjoyment of life and liberty, with the means of acquiring and possessing property and pursuing and obtaining happiness and safety. Now, if you know anything about the Declaration of Independence, it's the same kind of language that is going on there. He talks about inherent rights are rights that we get from God that are unalienable. He says that they cannot by any compact deprive or divest their posterity, meaning these rights cannot be taken away, they cannot be given away, they cannot be transferred, they cannot be robbed from a future generation. Unalienable rights are rights that all men inherit equally. And he also talks about the enjoyment of life and liberty. And in the Declaration of Independence, it talks about the pursuit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And some people say, oh, well, you know, that just means we can go out and do whatever we need to do to be happy. But if you study that in its historical context, the pursuit of happiness is tied in with the obtaining of personal property, that a person should be able to own property, and that their property would be their property. And so we see the connection here with the means of acquiring and possessing property and pursuing and obtaining happiness and safety. And so George Mason talked about some of the same things. William Blackstone, going back to him one more time, he reveals the true source of the Declaration's inspiration. What's the inspiration for the Declaration of Independence? He said this. He said, upon these two foundations, the law of nature and the law of revelation, depend all human laws. That is to say, no human laws should be suffered to contradict these. And so he talks about upon these two foundations, the law of nature and the law of revelation. What is the inspiration for the Declaration of Independence? Well, there's two foundations. There's the law of nature, he talks about, and the law of revelation. What he is talking about is God's order in creation and God's revealed law in his word. And so God's order in creation. Now, one of the things that we find going on in our society, or that is very different in our society than it was once upon a time, early on from the Declaration, before the Declaration of Independence, from the founding of our country, from the Pilgrims coming, all the way up through the American Revolution, all the way up through our first presidents, up until about 100 years after, there was no question about God, his word, that there was a God, that God put us here, that God put the creation, put order in creation. But then about 100 years after that, you have a man come along, and his name is Darwin. And Darwin comes up with a theory of how we all got here, minus God. And so what we have going on in society from about 100 years after the Declaration of Independence, you know, if our inspiration for our independence comes from God, but we don't want God in society, we got to come up with a way to get rid of God. And evolution is that very thing. Here's a way to get rid of God, creator, order in nature, all those things. And so we find a great, great struggle going on. And where once upon a time, the question of God wouldn't even been a question, now you bring it up and all of a sudden that's offensive to people, and people think you're ignorant, and people, they reject that altogether. Well, here's what the Bible says, that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Well, I didn't mean to get off on that, but that's just a little side note. But God's order, the inspiration for the Declaration, two foundations, God's order in creation and God's revealed law in his word. So what have we learned so far about rights? Civics is the study of the rights and duties of citizens and how the government works. And so far, here's what we've learned. We've learned that rights come from God. Here's what the Declaration of Independence says, that they are endowed by their Creator, capital C. It's talking about the God of the Bible, the Creator God. That's where rights come from. We've learned that rights come from God, not from government. Number two, we've learned rights are unalienable. And so it says that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Rights that cannot be transferred, rights that cannot be taken away, rights that cannot be given away, unalienable rights. Number three, we learn from the Declaration of Independence that these rights are self-evident. We hold these truths to be self-evident. Meaning, what does that mean about rights? It is not some secret that just very few people know about. This is something that is self-evident. This is something that if you observe nature, if you observe the world, and you go anywhere in the world, there are certain things that just by nature are considered right and are considered wrong. And so, number one, life. Nobody has the right to take another person's life. Most everybody, even societies that don't know anything about the God of the Bible, in their society, they inherently know it's wrong to murder another individual. You find that all over the world. You find that on every continent, in every people group in the world. Certain things are wrong. Why do we know this? They are inherent in us. We know this by nature. It's wrong to kill. It's wrong to steal from somebody else. It's wrong to commit adultery. It's wrong to take somebody else's wife. How do we know these things? Nature, common sense, teaches us these things. God has put order in his creation. So self-evident truths. This is not some great secret, but this is something that is known round about the world. It is easily discoverable to anybody that's willing to really look honestly at it. Look at nature. Nature is full of design, and nature is full of order. Look at God's word. If you can't discern it from nature, God has written it down in his word, his revealed law. Here again is what Blackstone had to say about that. He said, of the laws of nature and of nature's God, these are the eternal, immutable laws of good and evil, to which the Creator himself in all his dispensations conforms, and which he has enabled human reason to discover. And so God, what he is saying there, God has put within us the ability to discern what is right and wrong, what is good and evil, what is acceptable and what is unacceptable. Children ought to be protected. You go anywhere in the world and you'll find that. And I've already said it's wrong to kill, it's wrong to steal. All of these things we find in God's word. And so he said, in which he has enabled human reason to discover, so far as they are necessary for the conduct of human actions. Such, among others, are these principles: that we should live honestly, should hurt nobody, and should render to everyone his due, to which three general precepts Justinian has reduced the whole doctrine of the law. That is teachings that you find in the Bible. And so what is he saying? Let him give some examples of these self-evident truths: that we should live honestly. Most people would agree to that. We shouldn't lie. We shouldn't deceive one another. And so we should live honestly. Most everybody would agree with that. Should hurt nobody. You know, our laws in this land to begin with were established on that thing. You have liberty to do as you please without hurting another person. Now, when you do something that hurts another person, that's where the law comes in and stops your liberty to do that. I have liberty. I have freedom to live my life, but I don't have liberty to go out and kill somebody. I don't have liberty to go out and somebody steal something, and I don't have liberty to cut their hand off. You should hurt no one under the law. He's talking about these self-evident laws, and should render to everyone his due. And so that's just common sense. If somebody works for me, somebody works for you, works for your business, they are due. You need to pay them what they're owed. And so these are things that we discern, we can discover the laws of nature. That is biblical teaching, common sense. These things are self-evident. He goes on, he says this: the law of nature, being dictated by God himself, is of course superior in obligation to any other. It is binding over all the globe, in all countries, and at all times. No human laws are of any validity if contrary to this. And this is why that once upon a time in America that it was common to find the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were honored. They were upheld as something to aim for, strive for, live for. You found the Ten Commandments in schools, all kinds of schools, private and public. You find the Ten Commandments in churches. You would find the Ten Commandments down at City Hall. If you went down there to do some business, to record a deed, you'd find the Ten Commandments down at City Hall. If you had to go to court for some reason, you would find the Ten Commandments there. And the Ten Commandments, why? Why is there such an attack against the Ten Commandments? What has the Ten Commandments ever harmed anybody? Just listen to a few of them. Honor thy father and thy mother. Is anything wrong with that? No, as a father, I say that's good. And growing up in my home, I say that's real good. Better honor your father and your mother. This is some things the law teaches us. We're talking about the inspiration of the Declaration of Independence. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Don't go out and lie on your neighbor. Don't go out and tell a lie on somebody. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thy neighbor's wife. It goes on down. It says, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. What is the harm in that? Great, great words to live by. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ himself summed up the law in the New Testament. Now, several times people would come to him and, you know, they're Jews and their whole life is revolves around the law and following the law and observing the law. And so a young man came to the Lord Jesus and he said, which is the greatest of the commandments? And the Lord Jesus said, upon these two hang all the law and the prophets. You want a summary of the whole Testament? If you want to know how the law of God is summed up, you don't have to go and read the whole from Genesis to Malachi. You don't have to read the first five books of the Bible. It's summed up by Jesus Christ himself very quickly. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy soul, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And so all of the law can be summed up in this: love God, love your neighbor as yourself. I noticed the presidential candidates were talking last night about how to stop violence in the inner cities and all the racial divide that's going on in our country. I've got a very simple answer for you. If people would love God, the God of the Bible, the God that teaches well to love one another, I'm not talking about this false God that's being published throughout the land today and all around the world that says that you ought to go out and kill the infidels, blow people up in public places, shoot a bunch of people. Who would want to follow a God like that? I'm talking about the God of the Bible, the God that says we ought to love one another. If we would love God and love our neighbor as ourself, that would fix your racial divide in America. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, I got to close quickly. Our time is getting gone, but rights, what we learn, rights and law are not contradictory to each other, but they are complementary to one another. These things ought to be self-evident. It talks in the Declaration of Independence about among these. It talks about that says are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And then we find, so what have we found among these rights? Rights are from God. Rights are unalienable. It's self-evident from nature and nature's God. But the purpose of government is to secure these rights. Governments are instituted among men. What's the government supposed to do anyway? Secure these rights. This is very, very important to us. Well, our time is quickly come and gone. We do appreciate you listening in today. I hope you've had a good day, and appreciate you listening in. Have a good day, and God bless you is our prayer.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. It's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us through our church phone number at 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596, or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.